Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So they
believe these are real robots using AI processing actual conversation.
They believe that the robots, at least according to Musk, would be used to like mow lawns and to babysit.
Well, now hang on.
Whoa.
When the robots come for my lawn, then we have a problem.
But babysitting, okay.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
October 11th, 1975. What happened?
I don't know the answer, so I can't play.
Yeah, you already know. It was this. The very first Saturday Night Live broadcast. October 11th, 1975. The show now celebrating its 50th season, and there's a new movie out today about the hours and minutes leading up to that very first broadcast. The cultural relevance of the show has ebbed and flowed over the years. The comedy, you could argue, has ebbed and flowed over the years. But through it all, the show has been that one sketch show that has lasted all of this time. Why? Why this show and not some of the others that have ever been out there? Joining us now on Wisconsin's Morning News is Dr. Nick Marks, a Milwaukee native, now the Associate Professor of Film and Media Studies at Colorado State University. He's also the Director of Undergrad Studies. He's also an author. He also does many other things. Dr. Marks now joins us. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
So the first question being, what has been the reason, in your opinion, for the lasting opportunities of the show? Why has it lasted so long?
Well, as you mentioned, the show is starting its 50th season, and it came out of the gates in 1975 with a brand of youthful, edgy energy that appealed to baby boomer audiences who wanted something different from their parents' generation of comedy. It's managed to kind of keep some of that cool, youthful energy over those last 50 years, and even today in its diminished state, and even after all the complaints about it being irrelevant, it still manages to attract eyeballs. It still is relevant with its updated casts, its music hosts, and especially the politicians who you never know when they're going to stop by during election seasons.
I think, you know, Dr. Marks, one thing that I see as it evolves is Saturday Night Live, for even when it was white hot, you know, when I was watching it and it was can't miss, it still would miss on a lot of sketches, right? If you watch the whole hour and a half. What's happened in the digital world now is we can kind of just sort of scroll through and know what hits and just play the hits from every week.
Get the best stuff.
It's a great point. The, rise of the internet and social media was a huge fear for a lot of TV shows, and especially ones like SNL, who are broadcast live. But what I think you're pointing to is the fact that audiences can kind of pick and choose what they sample from the show and form their own opinion based on sort of what they like, right? They don't have to sit up and watch the whole 90-minute broadcast every Saturday night, and indeed fewer and fewer people are doing that. But really the positive energy the show thrives off of are those two or three viral clips that circulate on social media in the week following every Saturday night.
I've heard in the past that Lorne Michaels isn't necessarily the nicest guy and kind of lords over some of the actors, and it can be, I don't want to say toxic, but it can be stressful and there's a lot of pressure. Do you need that? Does it have to be led that way in order to be successful?
I don't think so. I think every long-running media institution with a famous boss like that has some aspect of being a tyrant, right? He's pretty famously mean. He doesn't laugh during cast members' auditions. But I also think he's doing something right to sort of steer the show for as long as he has done it. There are rumors, of course, that he's going to retire after this upcoming 50th season. As soon as those began to pick up steam, he pretty subtly started to push back. It sounds like he's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. And I think that just speaks to the extent to which so many people and creatives in the TV industry associate him and just him with that show.
The book was called Saturday Night Live on American TV. Dr. Nick Marks is one of the editors. He's an associate professor of film and media studies at Colorado State University, Milwaukee native. Talking with him this morning about the 50th season of Saturday Night Live. You called the book refers to Saturday Night Live as a cultural institution. And I wonder if part of that is also because of the careers that it has launched. I started putting together just a list, Dr. Marks, and it would take too long for me to name all of the names of people who are part of, you know, Hollywood now or television in other ways who got their start on SNL.
Yeah, even stretching back to the very first season, if you remember, was Chevy Chase's breakout and his only season. And he left after that first season to go do movies. Ever since then, the show has kind of had a reputation as a graduate school of comedy, a place where you'd go and, you know, really finely tune your skills before you moved on to bigger and better things. And those bigger and better things were what you just referred to. It's the more high-profile, higher-paying gigs of mainstream movies. And indeed, we've got countless examples over the years, right? Chris Farley and Mike Myers and Adam Sandler and on and on. These people carry the sort of sketch comedy sensibility with them into those movie roles, right? They have that kind of punchy, fun, short-form sensibility to them, even in their careers beyond SNL.
I think, too, of the platform that it's been for female comics. You talk about Amy Poehler, right? Gilda Radner in its early days, right? Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I don't think she did a long stint there. I think she did some writing and things like that. Tina Fey, my goodness. I mean, to see female comics in those roles and then also be a platform for them to launch into the other things you just mentioned.
Absolutely. The show, even from its earliest days, as you mentioned, Gilda Radner and others, has been a strong platform for women comics. It's not always had the best reputation for treating them equally and giving them equal screen time. But certainly in the last 10, 15 years, if you think of folks like you mentioned, both Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, Kristen Wiig and others have also gone on to pretty good mainstream success, including in things like other television shows and streaming, now that those are alternatives to the sort of mainstream movie scene.
Nick Marks joins us. He's associate professor from Colorado State University, also an author, also a Milwaukee native, we're told. So what about, does television ever filter out the comedy? And what I mean by that, I've been to Second City before a couple of times, and when you're in that scene, when you're in the studio, it can be really funny. There's a fun vibe. Everyone's just feeling it. But does that ever get filtered out when you're watching it on TV, where something just doesn't seem to resonate the same way or translate the same way?
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of cuts both ways with SNL. On the one hand, you're absolutely right. When you're making a show for broadcast television, you have to play it safe. You can't swear. You can't have nudity, right? These things have to be safe and broadly appealing for anybody to be able to watch. But on the other hand, SNL is one of the few live shows, right? It is performed at the same time that you're watching it at home, just like a Packers game. And that is one of the few remaining, you know, scripted TV shows that's still doing that. So there's always a sense of danger there. Anything could happen. Somebody could slip up and swear, or somebody could enter the studio and make a ruckus. So the fact that it persists as a live entertainment show when so few TV shows are embracing that format, I think really does, you know, maintain that sense of anything could happen.
You know, one thing that I love when it is hitting, when the writing is good, is the political stuff. And I think it's a lot of the reason that people flock to SNL. We want to laugh about our politics. I will say this, though. They're at their weakest when it appears one-sided, and they're at their weakest when it's not funny. And what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, making fun of someone is funny. I like most when you make fun of my political views, but it's kind of funny. But sometimes, like, it got to a point maybe a year or two ago where it was like, this is kind of just mean. It's not really funny. I'm not laughing. And it's a kind of a fine line, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're identifying what I think is the main legitimate critique of the show over the last 15, 20 years. And it's that political humor can be kind of pandering. It's, here's what happened in the news this week, and we're going to trot out a famous person to impersonate President Trump or whoever happened to be in the news. And it's not always centered around a joke. It's centered around the audience identifying, there's that person, I either really like them or I really don't like them. And it's kind of gotten away from the idea that these are people who are involved in, you know, real life scenarios that create humor. There's a lot of eyeballs and money to be made in creating that type of political humor. So it's something that SNL has kind of chased in recent years. But I tend to agree that its political comedy is very much hit and miss.
Crystal Ball, Nick, is SNL stay in some fashion even after Lorne Michaels?
Absolutely. I just think that the big tent gathering places where young and old and left and right can get together and still watch TV, those are so few and far between these days that I think NBC would, you know, be foolish to get rid of it after Michael's departure. As about the fact that there's a pretty clear line of succession after him, the two names being bandied about, Seth Meyers and Tina Fey, you know, both sat at the Weekend Update desk. They both have had their own extremely successful post-SNL careers, and they both have not so subtly hinted that they'd be open to taking over that position, if not outright, you know, wanting to take it over.
Dr. Nick Marks, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Nicky, Colorado State University professor of film and media studies, also an author of several books on sketch comedy.
Just the names, though. I was like just making a list. Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, Jason Sudeikis. What about him? Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
Yep.
Seth Meyers. I'd forgotten about Seth. Like, just go on, and then you go way back. Eddie Murphy, Aykroyd, Chase. I mean,
oh,
so many.
Endless. Right? It's endless.
What time is it on? 10:30, Saturday night. 8:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Steve Martin, Martin Short. How many more names? Like, we could spend the rest of the morning.
We should do a draft. Draft the best SNL.
Or you could do brackets, members. This guy versus this lady, whatever, bing, bing, bing. Or we could just watch the show. Last of the Lake Michigan cruise ships will be visiting the port of Milwaukee this weekend.
Your mother and I are planning on taking a cruise.
Part of a growing Great Lakes cruise industry, Port Milwaukee welcomed 27 visits by 7 different ships between May and then will ultimately be this weekend here as we close out the cruising season on the Great Lakes. We're being visited Sunday morning by a French ship, Eric, named Le Bello.
Le Bello is the 5th of 6 ships of the Explorer class of expedition cruise ships in the Ponant fleet.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
That sounds nice, yeah.
That is from some folks called Visit With Us. It's a channel on YouTube, and this guy is taking you through the ship. He has a very nice voice. Ship is nice. It's got everything you'd want on a cruise ship. Smaller scale, kind of built for big river cruises or something like this on the Great Lakes. 7 decks, but only about 180 passengers. They even got an underwater bar.
The first of its kind, the multi-sensory lounge, is all curves and arcs with oval windows looking out into the vast underwater seascapes and lozenge-shaped body-listening sofas from which to relax with your favorite drink.
You feel tranquil,
E? It sounds very nice, yes. Mm.
So she is supposed to come into Pier, Wisconsin, about 7 a.m. on Sunday. It's really cool when they're docked here and you see them up against the skyline. And we'll be departing same day around 6 p.m. So folks will have a chance to get off the ship and explore Milwaukee. Although, why would you want to?
At night, the mood lighting, well, sets the mood perfectly. This suite makes you feel super romantic. Well, we are on a French ship. And romance is what the French do best. Ooh la la.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Who needs the city to go to? You can stay on the boat. Yes.
So the newsy peg to this is it's a growing industry. Port Milwaukee believes it's about 12,000 tourists who have visited through these cruising months, which began in May here in Milwaukee. City investing in cruising tourists as well. Mentioned the ship's going to be docked this time at Pier, Wisconsin. So that's the one that's over by Discovery World, just on the edge of downtown. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson included in his budget for the coming year $5 million of city funds as they want to build a new South Shore cruise dock. And this would be at the southern base of the bridge, kind of near the Lake Express Terminal. I believe just north of there, or maybe just, they said it was east of there, but I don't know how much east there is.
How much space there'd be there for that?
Because you're already, you know, in the lake. anyway, it's going to be near there. I thought $5 million was a low price tag. So I wonder if that's just the city and then the state is going to chip in as well. Just our portion, maybe there'll be some federal dollars.
It would seem it would cost more.
Can't do much for $5 million these days, right? But they want to open it in 2026. So that is something to look for on the lakefront this weekend. Final arrival and departure for 2024 of the French vessel, La Bello.
Super romantic. Ooh la la.
It was a party in Burbank, California. Literally Hollywood. One of the biggest electric vehicle makers in the world pulling the wraps off a new car.
A movie studio backlot in an event that's name makes reference to the sci-fi story I, Robot.
Welcome to the We Robot Party.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk pulled the wraps off what he calls a fully driverless taxi. No pedals or steering wheel.
The car's just going by with no people.
Yeah, so this was unveiled. It's a cyber cab, if you will, cyber taxi that doesn't have a driver. You just get in and it'll take you places. So that was the big unveiling during this big event on Thursday night. However, the story that seems to be getting more attention, the stormtrooper of robots that came out and mingled with the crowd. And by mingling, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you? That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot.
You hear that? Hello, John. Yeah. That was a robot.
What's the hardest thing about being a robot?
Trying to learn how to be as human as you guys are. And that's something I try harder to do every day, and I hope that you will help us become that.
That's a robot.
That's the robot's
right
voice.
So it's like literally a robot walking around. It looks kind of like a stormtrooper. It's white with, it's got like a black face. It
looks friendlier.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It does. It's got you can't see its face. It just has like this like black visor in front of its head.
Right. It's a little bit awkward. Like it moves like a robot, but yet its gestures are sort of humanoid. Like when he had the ah, you heard the robot say ah.
Right. Yeah.
He kind of like moved his hand like toward it, like just like you would. You're like, ah, I don't know. I'm thinking here.
Which seems strange to me. How does a robot think? I thought a robot just did. Why is it? 2 + 7, it's 9, I think.
Well, like, I don't know. That's the audio equivalent of that little blue circle that goes on your computer. You know, like,
so it could do that thinking, for like 8
I don't
minutes,
think he was
like,
actually
buffering.
Thinking. I think that is just an affectation to make it sound like he's more a
okay,
human.
Also could be that.
Interesting. So then that would come back around, you know, like every 5 minutes when you're talking to this thing, Debbie?
Possibly. If it were a robot.
Well.
So if you go online, there's videos of this thing everywhere.
This is absolutely insane. Elon Musk.
In the background, like, do you want to go for a walk? It's like, yeah. Let's
and there were a bunch of them. A bunch of these robots. One of them was tending bar.
So is it possible? I mean, this was done in Hollywood. Obviously, it's a big rollout for this cyber car.
Don't ruin it.
Is it possible they're not really robots? Or at least the voice isn't
that's
a robot?
That's what I would say, yeah.
That's really just
you think that was someone looking through a camera and then being the voice to have a human processing that conversation?
A la, you know, Turtle Talk with Crush at Disney. They've been doing these for years.
To that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, so at Disney, they do something similar where what you're talking to is you think it's a robot, but it is a person with a mic.
I don't know, right, man. Elon Musk is a lot of things, right? And some folks like him and some folks don't, but he's not a hack. He's not going to roll out this thing that's like half baked and then it comes out later that wasn't really a robot. Like, I don't see that for him. I don't see that play for him.
So they
I think
believe
these are real robots using AI processing actual conversation.
They believe that the that's robots, at least according to Musk, would be used to like mow lawns and to babysit.
Well, now hang on.
Whoa.
When the robots come for my lawn, then we have a problem.
But babysitting, okay.
Fine.
Here, take the infant, but don't touch
Remember
my lawn.
Remember who you're talking to there, Eric. It's Vince. Vince, the king
Drive
of the lawn.
Drive me around on a busy freeway with with nothing in here. Fine. Don't come for my lawn.
If you would like to, actually, they do look very similar to the iRobots from that movie, iRobot with Will Smith. If you want to see them, and we have the videos we posted, just text the word bot to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the video.
I'd be happy to mow your lawn, Vince.
I think I'd be happy to, is how you'd really have to say it.
.848 here on a Friday. You know what that means. Every week we talk about what should be in the show, what maybe shouldn't be in the show. Some things make it, some things don't. But we assign our producer of the program, Greg Pancake Hill, every week to whip up a little something with the leftovers in an event we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Can I just share a program note here with everyone? Greg Pancake Hill produces the show. And
you're going to make him say something?
He's virtually unlistenable.
What up?
So Greg's like still, he's not sick, he's just recovering from being sick.
Virtually unlistenable.
Which is accurate. Greg has to give us instructions from time to time. You know, this is coming up next, or take your break here, or whatever. And I think, can you just text me instead of talking to me in that voice?
It hurts.
It's painful to listen to.
Yes.
So
yes.
Pancake declared he's down, he's out. I can't do Pancake.
No, but he still did it, though, in a very different way.
So apparently what we are to do, and keep this in mind, this is going to be in the voice of Pancake, but this will be delivered by Eric and me. So it does not mean that we're doing our impressions of Pancake, right?
He wrote this. He wrote what he's asking us to say.
Okay, so as we start this, these are the words of Greg Pancake Hill,
yes,
as delivered by Eric and me.
Mm-hmm, yes. Now, with me, Pancake, being virtually unlistenable, we still had to do a segment. So instead, we're going to have Vince and Eric read my segment for me as they are doing right now.
Okay, now, what I really like is when the segment starts, Vince says, good start. Dare I say, great start.
Okay, now, Eric had the idea to really capitalize on my voice, so it started by making me say unique, funny things that had a innuendo twang to it.
Does this tomato look ripe to you?
Or
are you hungry because it's time to eat?
Or to just stay on brand.
How would you like your eggs?
There you go.
But I thought, why stop there? Why not bring in some of our best bits to life? For example.
We'll now welcome the one and only Will Pounder.
Or
absolutely boat race.
Or my personal favorite,
Cerveza Cristal.
Yes. And what about our favorite characters like Coach Matt LaFleur?
I don't know what that means.
Or Bob Uecker.
.com. I'm .com and right now.
And of course, Governor Evers.
I am jazzed as hell.
Yes, of course. Wow, this segment really coming together, I'm saying, as Greg.
Holy mackerel, folks.
It's good. Now, I kind of feel bad we made him do this. Like, it probably wasn't
good. You guys suck at acting, by the way.
Probably wasn't good for him either. So, Vince and Eric would never take me for granted. A healthy pancake is a healthy Wisconsin's morning news. Could you imagine if I sounded like this during the Brewers' magic number countdown?
Ha ha ha, two.
Or how about a magic number like this?
Give me all the cards. I got uno.
Wow. I know I would never be taken for granted by Eric or Vince, because what would this show be without one of Eric's favorite stories, a runaway animal?
I was like, really? A water buffalo?
Opportunity, of course, to highlight just all the great things that I, Greg Pancake Hill, do for the show that, again, Vince and Eric are finally appreciating when I'm not at full strength.
Bullseye.
I love producing this show.
I'm a lucky guy.
And although my voice is
absolutely boat raced,
wouldn't be anywhere without Vinny and Eric, especially not reading this segment.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, and for now, even though I am
virtually unlistenable,
I have immortalized this moment in time where I can barely speak, and if you had any desire to relive this moment over and over again,
text Pancake and I'll send you a link.
Yay!
Oh, good.
Okay, come on live now.
Hello.
Hello.
Miss you, buddy.
You're doing better. I think you're doing better. I think you're starting to.
Yeah, I'm doing better.
Starting to warm
kind
up.
Kind of. I feel worse, though. We'll get past it.
What is your malady? I don't even know.
I couldn't even tell you. I wish I knew, because then I would like fix it. But I'm just kind of doing this cocktail of orange juice and Dayquil, just kind of vitamin C-ing it up, making sure I feel better for next week.
Okay, I think you sound amazing.
I appreciate you, man. Right back. Text
Pancake,
and I'll send you a link.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. You serious? Do you think it's the last 80 this year?
Yes.
High of 81 degrees today in your storm team forecast. Eric says it's the last time we hit 80.
I'm not sure I understand why you're surprised that I think we're not going to have 80 degrees again.
Just because I think we'll pop a nice one later this month, and we'll pop an 80 somewhere in November.
In November?
Yeah.
Come on. We're done. Enjoy it. Put on the shorts.
Okay. Let's write that down. Mark it, Pancake. Eric, last day. We're done.
You're questioning me and my bold predictions.
I should know better.
How dare you?
Does he get one? Eric Bold Predictions, Bill Stead. His guy, Xavier McKinney, is 5 for 5 for the Packers on interceptions in as many games. Does he get 6 this week?
All I need is 10 by the end of the year, so I can't. It would be nice to see 6, yes.
Sorry. Rest of the storm team forecast. Tonight, low of 55. Saturday, 63 under partly cloudy skies. Chance of showers in the afternoon. And for your Sunday, just a slight chance of showers and a high of 61. A lot of good stuff on the program today. Talked about the robots, talked about the robot cars, the last cruise ship here in Milwaukee. All available on the podcast. Text Vince to 855-616-1620. And Greg, if he's able, will send out that link to you this morning.
Always
If you're feeling well, Greg.